Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're starting section 2 of Pasuk 15, of section 2 of Parashat Noach. We'll start with Pasuk 15, and we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchinu Udchilu Udchilu Urchinu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Le'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Le'mud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kenenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kenenehu Rabbi Elazar Petach Lechu chazu nifalot Hashem asher sam shamot baretz haikira haitmar yokmu ha aval lechu chazu mai chazu kada chazut kasha kashe ugad li Yovdo Dekut Shabarichu Avidit Gale Nevua Ila'a Livne Nasha Asher Sam Shamot Shamot Vadai Dehashema Garim Lekola. Rabbi Elazar opened his discourse with the verses. These are the generations of Noah, and come, behold the works of Hashem, who has made desolations in the earth. And he asks, come, behold, the Hebrew word is chatzu, what is the meaning of behold? And he answers, it is related to the verse, a grievous vision. The Hebrew word is chatzut, has been declared to me. Because by his deeds, the Holy One, blessed be he, reveals his prophecy to man. And when a prophecy is revealed by preceding grievous deeds, it is called a grievous vision. Who has made desolation? The Hebrew word is shamot, assuredly alludes to names, which is the Hebrew word shemot. It's the same letters with different vowels. For a name is the cause of everything that happens. This means that we should consider the name of whatever happens. For the Holy One, blessed be he, puts the name in the mouth of man so he can name everything on earth. So the verse is actually calling us to go and observe the works of Hashem through the names by which they are called by man on earth. Because the Holy One, blessed be he, puts names in the mouth of man as prophecy by preceding them by actions. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I guess this reverts back to Adam naming the animals as well, and as well probably the vegetation in the garden, just as Noah with the new world, and basically they were walking out the action, but actually walking out Hashem's will to describe his creation.
What do you know about the Midrash that says, that explains the verse that Adam named the animals?
What do I know about it?
Yeah. What have you learned? What have people told you about it? The Torah says that Adam named the animals.
Right.
The Midrash takes it on a deeper level and says that not only did he name the animals, but he named them appropriately for their inner essence. And as an example of that, he named dogs Caleb, Kaf Lamed Bet, which translates, or you can parse the letters into Kaf, which is short for the word key, Kaf Yud, but they drop the Yud when they attach it to another letter. So a Kaf at the beginning of a word means like, L-I-K-E, and then the other two letters are Lev. And Lev is the Hebrew word for heart. So the inner essence of a dog is like a heart. Now, what is the meaning of heart? Motions, love, kindness, all of those things that we have come to understand about a heart. But the essence, when Adam named the animals, he was also naming the plants, and he was also naming the inanimate objects. The difference between a rock and a river, or a river and an ocean, and so forth. So Adam was naming all things that were created, but he was given this insight, and he had that insight. So when he named something, he was really naming it for its inner essence. And that is the meaning of names. Now, this verse in the Zohar is telling us that the name is a prophecy. Not only the name that Adam gave things, but the name that our parents gave us. It's a prophecy of what we will do. What is our life going to be like? Somebody names a child Dina. It's a life of judgment. Now, it could be judgment that people judge that person, or it could be that they judge others, or it could be a combination. But the name itself is a prophecy, a projection of what the timeline will produce in that person, for that person. Now, the last verse and the earlier verse is saying the same thing. He puts names in the mouths of mankind, or man, people, as a prophecy, a projection, an anticipation of what's going to happen. But first, he precedes it with an action. So what is the action that preceded your parents naming you?
I don't know.
Well, on a very simple level, you were born. That's an action, isn't it?
Right.
You were conceived through intimacy with your parents, correct?
Correct.
And that's actions. So the name that you were given is the essence of your soul. But that was created by the action of the intimacy between your parents. How unified or disunified were that particular intimacy? And you can, it's a lot easier, of course, to understand it with respect to your own children. What were you and your husband or your wife at that moment of impregnation? how unified were the consciousness? And that is the action that creates the soul-body combination that is then named, in my case, Hanok. The verse is very powerful if you start to apply it to everything in your life. Because the name that you use, I'll give you another example, the city of Los Angeles. What is the, why is it called Los Angeles? Why is it called the city of the angels? Well, if you take the Los Angeles and convert it to Hebrew letters, it has a gematria of 240, the same gematria as Amalek. Amalek has the essence of doubt, as we've discussed many times. So Los Angeles is named Los Angeles because it is related to the energy of doubt. Well, what does that mean? What industry is the premier, the prevalent industry in Los Angeles? It's entertainment. It's movies. It's illusion. What is doubt? It's an illusion because there's no doubt in Hashem. Hashem is certainty. Doubt is an illusion. Los Angeles is a city of illusion. The energy of the location is an illusion. Every person who lives there is connecting to illusion. Now, can that apply to every other location? Yes. Can that apply to everything else? Yes. At what level? How deep? It's a prophecy from Hashem. We may not understand the prophecy, but the prophecy is always accurate. It follows two rules, two principles, two spiritual laws. If it's a positive prophecy, it will come true. If it's a negative prophecy, it may not come true. You want to know what's going to the future going to be? Look at the name of the time that you're living in. That's why every year, before the new year, I do an analysis of the name of the year. Why? Because it's a prophecy for the energy of the year. And if you look back at the history, this year, is it the energy of the goat? Only you can decide, because did you have that energy in your life this year? The year before, was it the energy of the pause? Only you can decide, because it's your interpretation. It's your perception of what that energy is. In my own perceptions, I know the year 5774 was the year of peace in the Middle East. And that's what took place in the war in Gaza, the second war in Gaza. It was in that year, the end of that year, in August of that year, in Av of that year, around Tisha B'Av, around the three-week period. But we didn't get peace in the Middle East. We got a ceasefire. We got a movement towards it. And then I watched in the next couple of years, every time we went through a small period, a day, 2 days, a week, every other day, when we would say the verse, there weren't rockets landing in Israel. there weren't, the ceasefire wasn't being kept day by day, but when we said the verse, I saw the connection where when we said the verse, there was a ceasefire in Gaza, in the Gaza-Israeli relationship. I noticed this. I never said anything. This is the first time I'm verbalizing it. But I know, I think I once said in one of the classes that we need to keep up saying it. We hadn't said it in a couple of days, and there was rockets flying again. It's a prophecy. What is a prophecy? It's a manifestation of God's words, God's mind. Wait a second. God didn't say my name. My parents said my name. But what this verse is saying is the words are put into my parents' mouths. They called me Hanoch because that was God's perception. That was God's prophecy for me. Now, I went through many years not knowing that. I went through many years not finding my path. But that also is built into my name. How is it built into my name? Remember, my name starts with hidden wisdom. Ken, Ket Nun, is hidden wisdom. You don't see your path when it's concealed. Pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yep, it is powerful. Never looked on it as prophecy. That's pretty interesting.
Verse 16. Kiti vayikra et shemo Noach lemor. Zeh gomer amai haka lemor. Ve'amai zeh la lemor. Da'ita zeh da tzadik. Kiti vaka zeh yenach amenu. Utiv hama hem tam ze hashem tavinu lo zakain inun sadikaya birshimin birshimu vegush panta demaoka lemeheve ishmae rishimin. Vehu shave shemahan beara kitkayot. The verse states, and he called his name Noah, saying this. Rabbi Elazar asks, why does the verse read saying this? And he answers, the word saying refers to the female principle, which is Malchut, while this refers to the righteous, who is Noah. And the proof that it is written here and elsewhere, this one shall comfort us. This is Hashem. We have waited for him. And we learn through analogous meaning, the word this refers here to Hashem, who is called righteous. And therefore, the meaning of this in any other verse means righteous as well. Here it refers to Noah, who is righteous, like Hashem. Likewise, the verse that states, and he called his name Noah, refers to the supernal female principle, or Malchut, who called him Noah. For the female was saying, this, that is Noah, shall comfort us. Blessed are the righteous who are marked with the imprints of the ring of the King. The Holy One, blessed be He, for they are marked with His name, and He has put names on the earth, meaning in man's mouth, so that everything can be called by its name correctly. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So the mark is His name, Hashem's name, as in the as when He changed Abraham and Sarah's name and Jacob to Israel. So is that what's called the mark of His name? Or the mark? Or His mark?
The phrase is, they are marked with His name.
Right.
What is the meaning of marked?
The meaning of mark is a sign or a imprint of something, right?
Correct. Have you ever met somebody who was named something that they didn't like, didn't feel right for them?
Yes. Some people change their names legally.
And some people just change their names practically. They tell people to call them something else and don't change it legally.
Or some kind of nickname, right? Nickname.
Yeah, that's a thing, too. Very much part of it.
Yes, instead of calling...
Have you ever met a woman in her 60s who still calls herself Debbie?
Still calls herself Debbie, yes.
Usually by the time she becomes an adult, the time she gets married, has children, or, you know, becomes... out of her teen years, she's dropped the name Debbie. She wants to be known by Deborah, Deb, another nickname. But it's very unusual. Relatively few people allow themselves to be called by their children, the nickname they received as children. Debbie, Dick, Rich. Now, I'm not looking at the English name. I'm looking at the Hebrew letters associated with that English name, with the sounds of that name converted into Hebrew letters. That's the prophecy. Dalet Bet Yud is Debbie. Dalet is a doorway. Bet is a house. Yud is the personal pronoun my. My house's door. That's the essence of the child being called Debbie. Now, what does that mean? It can have many different connotations, many different interpretations. The prophecy is always there. The marking is always there until someone grows out of that level of consciousness spiritually, and then they choose to change their name. Now, it may be somebody else starts to call them something else. Debbie gets married, and her husband calls her dear. Well, one interpretation of dear is the name Svi. And we're learning in the goodness of the land of Israel in those classes that it's called the land of Tzvi, the land of the deer. But we don't really understand the essence of deer. What is the nature of that animal? It's called Tzvi. we have to look at the letters. Well, the letters, it's Dadi Bet. It's a house of righteousness. Now you have a clear insight into the goodness of the land of Israel. But why does it have another name? Why is it called Eretz? Why is, you know, all of these things are different attributes, different prophecies. Should I go on?
Yes.
Verse 17. Kiti vayikra et shemo Noach uti vayikra shemo Yaakov ama ela kiti vet ela hatam darga achara v'haka darga ochara. Kediktiv v'ere et Hashem v'ere Hashem la'ketiv ela et Hashem ofakav b'noach v'yikra et Shemo Noach v'yikra Shemo Yaakov darga b'leia. Kucha Barichu Mamash Karalea Yaakov Avalhaka Et Lait Kalala Shekinta. The verse states, and he called his name Noach. But here it's saying he's called his name, and then it says the Hebrew word is Et Noah. And it is also written, and he called his name Jacob. Why does it not say et in regard to Jacob, as it said with Noah? Because each one refers to a different level. As it is written in the verse, I saw et Hashem, a verse from Isaiah. It does not say I saw Hashem, but et Hashem. This indicates that the particle et, which is usually translated as the, but it really doesn't have a translation, et represents the direct object. It's telling you what the grammar aspect of the letter, of the name. But this indicates that the particle et has a specific meaning. Here, too, it is written of Noah, and he called his et name Noah. As for, and he called his name Jacob, in reality, this level is that of the Holy One. Blessed be he. And this is why the particle et is not mentioned there. But with Noah, the particle et is mentioned so as to connect him with the Shekhinah, which is the female principle. Because the Shekhinah is called Et. The particle Et does not appear in Jacob's name, for this level is that of a chariot for the Holy One. Blessed be he.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I have returned. I'll start reading a little bit further back. to finish the paragraph in English. For his level is that of a chariot for the Holy One, blessed be he, while Noach, who is the secret of the righteous and is always connected with the Shekhinah, has the word et preceding his name. I'm sorry for the interruption. I don't know why my phone keeps dropping these calls, because I'm not moving the phone, so it doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Does anybody have any questions or comments?
So Noah is connected to the female aspect. Okay.
Which means Malchus.
And Jacob was the chariot, which is Aaron.
Jacob is a chariot for Tiferet.
Right.
Which is another name for Zeranpin. It's another name for that spiritual level. And so Jacob is, it doesn't have the word et. Nowhere in any verse in the Torah does Jacob have the word et connected to it. Why? Because the energy of Jacob is Tiferet. The prophecy of Jacob is the spiritual level of Tiferet.
Okay.
And Tiferet is Zeranpin.
Right.
And Zeranpin and Malchut need to be unified. Now, both Noach and Jacob are righteous, but Jacob doesn't become truly righteous till he becomes Israel. But even after he becomes Israel, sometimes he goes back to the lower level of Jacob. The Torah sometimes calls him Jacob and sometimes Israel. But never does it connect him with the word et.
Is that
always representing
Jacob,
the spiritual level?
Okay, with Jacob, his father was Isaac, right?
Right.
So Isaac already had he was in the spiritual, the reincarnation because of the death with Abraham. He had an elevated soul, which he could never leave the land. So is that, did he, as a father to a child, did that spark in his soul, is that related with Jacob in any way?
Absolutely.
Okay,
but you have to remember that Isaac had two children.
Right.
He had Jacob, and he had Esau.
Right.
Okay. Esau starts with an olive. Jacob with a yud. Isaac with a yud. Yud is the first letter of Hashem's name. It's all part of the prophecy. Esav.
Okay.
Aleph Shin Vav. I think that's the way it's spelled. Aleph Shin Vav. The Vav at the end is a possessive his, referring to his, someone other than Esav's energy. It belongs to somebody else. So who does Esav belong to?
Well,
then the other two letters, Aleph Shin, Esh, is a fire. Whose fire is Esau? If Jacob has elevated to Israel, the fire of Esau belongs to Israel. If Jacob doesn't elevate but stays down, who does the fire belong to? That's why Esau, which becomes Edom, rules the world. Because Israel has abdicated when Jacob doesn't grow to the level of Israel.
Is that why sometimes he was called Jacob and sometimes he was called Israel? And the changing of his name? So when he didn't elevate...
Torah is describing different levels of consciousness that he had at the time that that particular story or name is being used.
But I guess what my thinking is at this point is that, well, they both left the land. Jacob and Esau both left the land, basically. Okay, I was a little off track with that.
Okay.
I never left the land. Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions? You're doing well, Martha. I'm not saying it. I just want to give other people a chance if they have something to say.
I'm sorry. I get carried away.
Well, no, you're fine. You're fine. We've gone through all three verses of the section, and I just want to give people a chance if they do have something they want to ask or say about what this is. But it's a very powerful section, all about how to understand the world, how the prophecies are actually just letters. But we're so used to being taught and be expecting expecting words that we read them as words instead of as individual letters. And they're both correct. It's just two different levels of consciousness.
I kind of want to go around with pencil and paper in hand, and when I hear a name, to see what the letters are as to what consciousness this person or it is supposed to have from prophecy.
Go do it. Just don't explain to them what it is till you know that you're doing it in the proper way. Double check with me about what you're doing.
Oh yes, I'm not.
I know that's not your nature. It's a caution I have to say for other people.
Oh, absolutely, and I would definitely need some more learned experience to do that. You know, but it's kind of at this point that's what I felt.
The only way you get the experience is to actually do it. So when you meet somebody or somebody's name, use your children's name and go back through. Spell them in Hebrew if they don't have Hebrew names yet. Or if they're not using their Hebrew names, use the names that, you know, they're using. Put it into English. See what you find out. And that's why my ultimate goal with our website is to what I call automate, so that somebody could write in their name in English letters and it would convert to Hebrew letters, and then it would give them all of the information about the prophecy of their name.
Yeah, that would be great.
And all it takes is a few dollars.
Right.
But for whatever the reason, you know, the idea is there, and if we're not going to do it, somebody else will do it. But it has to be done in order for the Mashiach to manifest. That's my opinion, of course. I haven't put it into the context of which verse prophesizes that. But it definitely will be built into the name Mashiach. How can I make that statement? Because the Zohar just told us, then whatever something is called, that's the prophecy. Any other questions or comments or thoughts? You all have a good evening. Our next class is at 10 o'clock. It's a question and answer session, and depending on how long that goes, we will continue to study the Third Temple. Tomorrow being Thursday, we have at 1:30 West Coast time, we have the Tikkun Rachel. At 4:30 West Coast time, we will have an advanced reincarnation class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a connection to the Zohar and for the Parasha of Pinchas.
What was the first time? 1:30
West Coast time, yes.
Okay.
So that's 3:30 your time. I will mention that Friday afternoon, we normally don't have classes on Friday, but I would like to do the 1:30 Tikkun Rachel class. But I have another appointment already before. I had set that up before, so we won't be doing it this Friday. So, shalom. Have a beautiful evening. And always remember, it's in the 3 weeks to do the meditation, the 5 meditations. Tet Dalet, Hey Dalet. Bafav Zionbav, Mem Tzadi, Pei Tzadi. That creates the letter Shin. Transform Tzara, troubles, into Retzei, balanced desires. And then the way you transform troubles into desires, into balance, is by adding the name Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And therefore, 295 plus 65 becomes 360, the second shin. And now you can connect to Sim Shalom. The Matria is 726, which is the two shins plus the six names. And so we have this connection to peace, shalom, and balance. And this is the period of peace and balance, as long as we have a vessel that can handle the energy. And that's why we're veiling in the energy, so that we will be able to handle it. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.